Hey everyone, it is Kitch and Duff. Time to talk some Boilermaker sports. Clayton Duffy alongside Kelly Kitchell. So glad you are with us. We are sponsored as always, powered as always by Everbowl right there on campus. All big weekend coming up for Everbowl with the Purdue Grand Prix. So make sure you get over there and get yourself all fueled up for a fun weekend on campus. Big Kitch, so glad you're back. What's up, my man?
It's just a beautiful day to be alive here in West Lafayette, man. It's we're having a lot of fun and coming off an emotional roller coaster of basketball season where we had the highs of the highs and a little bit of a low, but not too bad. So I think a lot of people were fired up to be in the spot that we were. You'd like to finish it, but man, what a great run and what a great ride it was. And yeah, you're right. It's Grand Prix week. I actually spoke to a couple of classes on campus the other day, and I was shocked at how many kids were in class. It's Grand Prix week. What are they doing going to class? I didn't know people went to class during Grand Prix week. So I was kind of surprised.
So you and your mates didn't see many insides of too many buildings on campus, you're saying, back in the day.
I won't say that. I mean, I'm sure I went to the ones I was supposed to. We had our grand. I remember each year Grand Prix was the same day as our spring game.
Right.
So they had that back then. They had the Grand Prix lot just north of where the practice fields are now, and you could hear the cars running during the spring game. And that was always kind of a fun deal. People go back and forth. They'd either be doing their prep laps because usually you had the spring game at noon, then the Grand Prix was like at 6, and so you could hear them getting a testing, getting it running, and all that. So that was kind of a fun day up there. But I do remember leading up, there were quite a few functions going on during the week, and they weren't just evening functions; they were all day affairs, and so it was always a good time.
Last weekend, last few days prior to the middle of the week. I mean, the spring game last Saturday.
Perfect.
Holy crap, man. I'm not sure you could ask for a better day.
Oh, it was unbelievable. The weather was just perfect. I golfed on Friday with they had an alumni outing, and I golfed, and we were fighting about a 50-mile-an-hour wind, it felt like, all day. So I had some great drives with the wind behind me, and I had some tough ones with the wind in my face and some interesting ones when it was going crossways. So it was an interesting day. Now, and it's not like I hit it straight anyways, so I was always adjusting. But it was a good weekend, man. It was a good weekend all the way around. Yeah, the spring game weather was perfect. Had a bunch of guys back. Got to see a bunch of guys I played with, their families, their kids. Spent some time with the staff, spent some time with some players. It was a lot of fun.
Overall, what were your impressions, what you saw on the field at Red Brosse?
The two things I took away this year, one, we're bigger. And a lot of positions, I mean, and not just up front, which we are bigger up front, but at receiver, at DB, at linebacker. I mean, a lot of different positions. We look bigger out there, and I thought we looked faster than we had on the field last year. And that's, like, again, that's at most all positions. I thought the speed was evident. I thought the size was evident. And I think we've got a quarterback who is really, really, really good. I think Hudson Card is poised to have one heck of a season. You know, we can keep him healthy and keep him upright. He was delivering the ball on time. You know, he has a lot of zip on the ball. He's put on, you can tell he looks great. I mean, he's put on a few pounds since last year, and it's really good weight. He just looked in command and in control, and he had some targets out there. You know, Max Clare was terrific at tight end. He looked really good running around. And I know we got some other guys in the tight end room that are kind of come back. George Burhan, well, he's got a foot issue and he's coming back this summer. He'll be good to go. You know, and Bibber looks like he's going to be fine. And so we got some weapons at tight end. You got some weapons outside. Probably our fastest guy didn't play. CJ Smith wasn't out there. He's the fastest guy they got. So he was, it'll be good to see him out in the field. But it looked like, you know, Jerron Tibbs, look, he had a nice couple catches really early, ran some crisp routes. And then the running back, gosh, I really like the running back room a lot. I mean, you got Maccabee back. You know, obviously Reggie Love looks like a great compliment to Maccabee. I mean, he's transferred from Illinois. He looked great. He had some nice bursts to him. They did a little misdirection, kind of dummy pitch type of direction where they got everybody pulling one way and they kind of just pitch it out the other way and let him outrun guys to the edge. And he showed a burst on that and got some nice yardage, enjoyed that. And I think this is going to be something. I remember a couple of years ago when we were talking about this time of year, Clayton, and I gave you a name who was going to be a breakout star for Purdue. And it was Charlie Jones. I don't know if you remember that. I was like, keep an eye on this Charlie Jones guy. He's pretty darn good. He was a transfer from Iowa, and he ended up being, you know, best receiver in the Big Ten that year. I think a guy, I'm not sure if he'll be the best at his position, but I'm going to tell you, he's going to have a breakout year as Jaheim Merriweather. He's a freshman, true freshman, young guy, running back, but he's 6'2", to over 200 pounds. He hit a hole in there because the twos were going live. I mean, he had a burst through that line, had a 40-yard run, and there wasn't anybody catching him. Fortunately, it was called back for a penalty that didn't have anything to do with the play. But, man, it was an impressive run. I've seen him in practice a few times. I think he is a special, special, special player. I'm really, really excited about that kid, and I'm really excited about his future here at Purdue. I think he's going to be a guy that will be – you know, obviously as a freshman when you have Maccabee and you have Reggie Love, he's probably not going to be the feature back, but I would bet a lot of money, not my money, your money. I bet a lot of money that he is going to be a special talent. He's going to get some time. He's going to get a lot of run and get a lot of plays this fall called his way. So I'm excited about him. And I didn't even talk about the offensive line, really. The offensive line looked much more athletic. You had Gus there. You know, a lot of guys playing on the ones look terrific. The twos still got some work to do, but the ones look terrific, I thought. And, you know, the kid, the transfer from Ball State, Corey Stewart, looked really good. The other tackle looked like he can play. So, I mean, and we just looked bigger, more physical. So I like the way the ones looked all around on offense. You know, defensively, you look out there and you look at defensive tackle. Emba is a specimen. I mean, he is just put together. Like he's one of those impressive human beings that you look at and you're like, man, this guy was created very, very well. He looks really good. He's worked his tail off. I'm excited about him. I think he's going to be a really nice player inside for us. Then you got Brevard, you got big bodies in there. Mo Amadade had a sack in the scrimmage. You look outside, you got Will Helt, who had a nice pick six as well. He was able to get in the coverage a little bit. He's 6'6". Man, he is a stud. He looks great too, coming off the edge. And then, you know, in the middle, you had two guys. So we moved Cadron Jenkins into the middle, and you finally got a chance. He missed a lot of springs. He had classes during some of the spring practices, but you could really see his athleticism. And what I love about that is we can kind of move him around. Like you can put him and Yanni in there together, and all of a sudden you can move Cadron down to a defensive end, move some people around. I think you could really mess with some teams on where they're going to be. So we could be in a different personnel with two inside linebackers in there that looks like you're a run stopping, or it looks like you're a little bit heavier. And then all of a sudden you can move some guys around and switch him and bring him off the edge and still have your one inside backer. And speaking of Yanni had a terrific day. That's the best I've seen Yanni move in a long time. Almost like movement wise, as far as like fluid, fast, it was like, you know, he got injured his senior year at West Lafayette. And before that, he was so quick, so movement, and that his hamstring really hampered him for about 2 years. He looked back to where, like, I've seen Yanni just explosive. And, man, he was really, really, really explosive. He had two sacks on the day. He was just a wrecking force in there whenever he was in, whether it was the ones or the twos that he was playing. He was an absolute – I thought he probably on the defense, he stood out as much as anybody did on the day. I was really impressed with Yanni. So excited for that. And then in the secondary, we had a bunch of new guys. Well, the one guy in the back, All-American, I guess, in the back, probably should mention him, and Dylan Thieneman. And so he looks solid as always, and he's going to be a terrific player. But you look at our corners outside, and they're both fairly new. And I think you're going to see some size and speed at corner that we haven't seen in a while. So, and Markevious Brown's back. He's got a year under his belt under Ryan Walters' system, playing corner, a lot of man coverage. I think he's going to be great. So it's, I'm excited for him, man. I think it was an impressive showing. The only thing I wish they would have done is I wish we had an announcer there, a PA guy, because there's so many new guys. I don't have the numbers memorized yet, and I don't think anybody else did. I wish we had a PA guy so I knew who had the ball and you know, who was making tackles all the time. Coach Walters was trying to simulate some crowd noise. It wasn't a huge crowd. It was a good crowd there, though. But, you know, it's not like everybody was standing and cheering like you would in a game. So you had music going the whole time, which is fine. But it was tough as a fan to sit there with, you know, you got 40 some new guys that came in, either freshmen or from the portal, and you're trying to figure out who's who, right? And you're looking at your phone. They didn't have programs. So that's the only thing I wish we had. And I always love hearing Carson Tucker anyways. I mean, he is the voice, right? So I just like hearing his voice anyways, boom across Ross Aid. So I wish Carson was there and was telling us who had the ball and what was going on. But other than that, it was a great day.
Now, from you talking with the coaches and talking with some of the players, is it night and day from last spring to this spring? And, you know, what it was all about, you know, last fall? Is there a different level of comfort or confidence now with this bunch?
Well, I think, you know, comfort and confidence for sure, but just sheer numbers. Last year we had 60 guys in the spring. This year there's, what do you say, 102, I think is what he said, that we had. So, I mean, yeah, you're looking at 40 plus more guys out there that are competing. You know, confidence wise, for sure. Hudson Card was last year. He was there for a month or so, a couple months before spring ball started. Now he's got a full year under his belt. He understands Graham Harrell's system. And I thought he looked really in control. So yeah, I mean, comfort, confidence, numbers, size, speed, we're a totally different team than where we were, especially at this point last year. And I think we'll be a completely different team in the come the fall as well. And I'll tell you, I think we're gonna surprise some folks. They got us slated at the bottom of the Big Ten. And like I said, I'd put some serious cred on us not finishing at the bottom of the Big Ten. We're gonna surprise some folks and get some wins here people don't expect. As long as we get the wins that we know we're gonna get and take care of business, don't stub our toe, I think early in the season, we're going to creep up on some folks. And then by middle of the season to late of the season, they're going to be like, oh, here come the Boilermakers. They're a little more for real than what we thought they were going to be.
You mentioned there, take care of the games you're supposed to take care of. I mean, that's what bit Purdue in the ass last year.
Yeah.
You know, if they win the games they're supposed to win, they beat Fresno State to open and, you know, really kind of build themselves off of that. You know, you and your family would have had some different holiday plans.
Yeah, we sure would have. We'd have been somewhere warm and been enjoying the sunshine over Christmas break. But yeah, you're right. That's why I said that. I mean, we let some games slip away from us last year, and let some guys do some things that wasn't normal. And so I think this year, like I said, you take care of the Indiana States. You look at Oregon State, they've just been decimated. They don't have a conf. People don't know what's going on out there. The transfer portal is just, I mean, they're transferring out there like crazy. So it'd be interesting to see if they can even, what they can put together for this year. I feel bad for the folks out there in Oregon State. But, you know, those are two games before we get the conference going that are, you know, those are should be wins. Those are ones we have to take care of, right? Even though Oregon State's on the road, that's one we have to take care of. And then you got Notre Dame, which, I mean, shoot, Notre Dame, we get them home. I mean, they're going to be very, very talented, but they're not unbeatable. And they got a brand new quarterback coming in. They've got a lot of uncertainty going on. You know, so if you can get two wins out of that first three, man, I think you'd feel really, really good starting out the season and getting into Big Ten play after that. You know, it's crazy right now how these conferences are set up. The Big Ten set up where we got to play 9 conference games. So you only get 3 non-conference games. Well, Purdue's got a 5-year deal with Notre Dame. You know, we got another game scheduled each year against a Power 5 team, and you got the one game that's not a Power 5. And so that's really, you know, when you look at that as compared to an SEC school that they only play 8 conference games, they have they do 1 Power 5 team and 3 non-Power 5s. So that's a big difference. That's a huge, I mean, those are 3 wins that are for good programs down there, damn near guaranteed. 3 wins, and with us, we have 1. So that's a big, big difference between scheduling and where we're at right now. As you're trying to make bowl games, you're trying to make playoffs and, you know, build your program.
Do you expect that to change?
I like playing really good teams, but the reason I say it's going to change is because all of college football is going to change, and it's going to be within, I think within the next couple of years, you're going to see the Big Ten, the SEC, just take over this thing, and it's going to be, they're going to have a new subdivision that'll be uniform, right? So it'll be, whether it's eight conference and three non, whatever it is, it's all going to be the same. So it's going to throw the scheduling all up in the air. I mean, you can have all these games scheduled out 5 years. Pretty pointless right now to have games scheduled out 5 years, even the Notre Dame contract. I mean, who knows if that'll even stay part of it. You know, I like playing Notre Dame. They're an in-state school. We have a rivalry. It's a trophy game. It's nice to play them, but I would not be shocked if when all this thing is said and done, you'll have major shakeups with our schedule in the next few years, especially as you go to, you know, we're on the cusp of everything changing. We're on the cusp of NIL, you know, being brought in house and TV revenue, being able to drive NIL. You're on the cusp of conferences being no longer conferences. Instead of probably, you know, you're probably going to have divisions. You're on the cusp of, you know, like I said, you're gonna have a North and a South, SEC, Big Ten, and then those kind of split off through there, but they're going to have their own commissioner. They're going to have their own things. I really think we're on the cusp of something that's totally going to change the landscape of college football. You know, I think our schedule will change. It'll be much different, but it's going to be uniform across the way. It has to be. I don't think you can, you can't keep things the way they are, because Big Ten teams are going to struggle with the schedule that we have right now, beating up on each other, especially having 18 teams. You add in Washington, who played the national championship last year. You add in Oregon, who's got one of the biggest NIL pots that there is, with over 20 million coming out of the Nike money out there. You've got USC, a perennial power on the West Coast with LA money, and you got UCLA. We'll see how they do. And they've been okay in the Big Ten, but I think they'll struggle in Big Ten football. The Big Ten itself will not allow themselves to just completely beat up on each other and then not have a chance at those national championships, whether it's through the playoffs or whatever. It's just not good business. And it's funny. I don't know if you listened to Tom Deanhart's been doing some interviews, and he did a really nice one with Noah Joseph, and it was on Golden Black, and did a nice interview with him. And Noah said, you know, as much as we want us to be the sports business, it's the entertainment business. We're in the business of entertainment. That's what the NFL is. That's what the NBA is. That's what, you know, all these are. They are not considered sports. It's sports entertainment is what they are literally labeled as. And that's what college sports is getting ready to be, college sports entertainment. And these teams, money's going to drive everything. And these teams are not going to allow, you know, these conferences where the money's at, it's not going to allow the Ohio States, the Michigans, the USCs, the Oregons, the Penn States, the ones that have a ton of money, ton invested in their programs, you know, even more than most of the others, they're not going to allow themselves to fall behind the SEC schools because of scheduling. It's just not going to happen.
A couple points about Hudson Card. It's Kitchen Duff, powered by Everbowl. You said Hudson Card put on some good weight.
Yeah.
When was the last time you and I put on some good weight?
Oh, man. I don't know if I have put on. I'll tell you, I can tell you exactly when the last time I put on good weight was. So I was 180 pounds coming out of high school. That was in May. By the time I got to Purdue, I was about 200, and that was good weight. I put on about 20 pounds over the summer because I started lifting over the summer, started doing a few things. I didn't want to mess up my shot. I had a picture perfect jumper, baby. So I didn't want to mess that up in high school. And so I started lifting, and I put on a good 20 pounds. And then I got to Purdue, and I put on another 100 pounds by Christmas. And that was not good. I can tell you that much. It's not good weight. However, I had to turn it into good weight. And so that, you know, after I put on 100 pounds, we went through the, you know, the meat grinder of 6 a.m.s and you know, all the off-season workouts and conditioning and everything that we did in spring ball. And I got myself back down to about 280. And then that summer, I put on another 20 pounds to get myself back up to 300. And that was good weight. So that's the last couple times I put on good weight. Since then, it's all about just trying to take it off, baby. No more putting on good weight, man.
How did you stack 100 pounds on yourself? What were you eating?
Well, I'll tell you, there, you know, when I was in high school, I was a student athlete. You know, I didn't go out much. I spent a lot of time in my barn. playing basketball, jumping rope, lifting, doing things out in my barn. So on Fridays and Saturday nights, that's where I spent my time when some other people were doing other things. But when I got to college, I will tell you, I found the other things were pretty fun. And so I found a little bigger. The barley and hops was enjoyable to partake in. And so that was part of it, even to the point where I got in a little trouble sometimes. And I had to have my penance a little bit on those and had to make up for it. But it is what it is. I was in college. That was part of it. But also I was doing, they had me on a deal where I was doing shakes. There was a lot of stuff going on. I had to take like 2000 calorie shakes before bedtime. And the last thing was, is that I started lifting really, really hard. And they say muscle weighs more than fat. So I'm going to give myself a little grace on that I was probably putting on some muscle, but a lot of it was fat too, but I hit the weight room pretty damn hard that fall as well. You know, I went from, I think in high school, I was probably benching my weight maybe, you know, to where I to by that first year, I was benching 350 pounds. And I was, so when you gain 100 pounds, you gotta at least bench your weight, right? Getting through there. So I had to be even more than where I was. So at least I was benching more than my weight going through there. So that first year, I put on 100 pounds in the weight room and about 150 on the bench press. So that was all I did. I was chewing weights and drinking beer. It's the way to do it, isn't it?
That is the way to go. I can't think of a better diet plan than that. No, wait, that's diet and exercise. What am that's I talking right. about? That's you're killing two birds with one stone right there, slinging the iron and throwing back the suds. Are you that's kidding right. me?
Oh, I was having fun.
That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Other thing on Hudson Card, do you, in your mind, have a clear number two behind him? If he gets dinged, who's going to go?
Well, it looked like, to me, what it looked like coming out of the spring was the guy that was getting number two reps was, and they were pronouncing it Davila on TV. So I'm not sure if it's Davila or Davila. We'll have to figure that out when we get the pronunciation guy, which we didn't have a roster or a pronunciation guy. We didn't hear Carson tell us what his name was. So I'm going by what Rob Blackman and Jake Butt were. I went home and watched it on TV. So they were calling him Davila, which I think we've been calling him Davila. So I apologize to the Davila family if I've been pronouncing his name wrong. But it looks like he's number two coming out of the spring. He got the second team reps. He even got some reps once Hudson Card was done with the ones. He got some reps with the ones, and he's the only quarterback that got that. I'm pretty sure Ryan Brown was only with second team. But they were kind of splitting back and forth on the second team. You know, the surprising one was Bennett Meredith didn't get hardly, I think he got one series late. Like it was, I think it was maybe it was well after halftime. I know it wasn't before half. So I think he may have gotten one series, and then they brought in Jake Wilson, who's a walk-on quarterback. They brought in the G Love kid, who's a walk-on quarterback as well, and gave them each. So he got the same as the two walk-on kids. So I don't know. It looks like Bennett's. Maybe there was a health issue. I don't know what. I mean, I have no idea. Nobody had said anything, but he didn't get near the reps. So right now it looks like Davila is the next guy, and him and Brown probably will be competing, you know, through camp for that number two spot is what it looks like to me.
Okay, kids. So the portal is open. Let's go portaling. It's where we are in this day and age of college football. It opened on the 16th. It'll close up on the 30th. Any thoughts from who you talked with about just potential needs, maybe what Purdue's looking for here over the next couple of weeks?
I don't know. I mean, Christian Womack went in the portal. He was competing for that number three spot at running back. So they maybe they'll go look for another running back. I could possibly see him do that when your number three is probably going to be a true freshman. You may want to have somebody come in that's got a little bit, you know, go, you know, senior freshman. You want somebody kind of in the middle a little bit on that. So that's a possibility for sure. You know, I think they feel pretty good about the O-line. I think they feel pretty good about the D-line. They feel pretty good about the receivers. I mean, maybe they'll look for another corner just for some depth, possibly some linebacker right now. It looks like, you know, you've got Cajun Jenkins, who's going to move a little bit between inside, and you got Yanni, But after that, I'm not sure who the guys are. You know, I guess what Clyde Washington was hurt, so he'll come back and play in the fall. I would say right now the probably the biggest need after that or the biggest need starting out because of Womack leaving is probably running back.
Tom Dinar from GoldenBlack.com mentioned punter.
Oh,
How
yeah.
much special teams was there last Saturday? And is, it's always a concern. Special teams always drive you nuts. I mean, how concerning are you about special teams?
Yeah, I forgot about I forgot because they didn't do any punting, so I didn't even
Right.
think about the punting. And they probably didn't do any because I think they may have one punter on there, and I'm not sure if they even I'm not sure if they even had one right now. But yeah, they're gonna have to go get a punter. And I think that yeah, there was some Aussie punter or punters they were looking at, some Australian punters that seems to be a good path right now. They got a lot of those kids coming out of Australia that know how to kick the ball. Kicker, I thought Ben Freehill looked really good. Yeah, Freehill, he had a little bit of an injury last year, but I thought he looked solid. He was perfect on the day. But you may also see him get a kicker as well. You want a little bit of competition. You don't want just one kicker. Because I mean that's awful if you just have one on the team and he gets hurt or something, you know, you don't have any backups on there that should feel good. But I guess we do have the kid coming in though, right? You have the best one of the best kickers in the country, the Porath kid, coming in. So he's a high school player. I think he played basketball, so he wanted to stay and didn't want to come in early. He's gonna come in May. So Spencer Porath is gonna be coming. He's a kicker and a punter, so maybe that'll, you know, I think you can maybe utilize him as a, you know, he might win the spot at one of them, be a backup at the other on that too. So you've got him coming in. I forgot about him as a freshman. Yeah, definitely special teams are something they're gonna have to look at, or kick and punt, or probably their holders too. I didn't seem like, and snappers, I mean, you lost your snapper last year. It's been your snapper for 2 or 3 years. They got a new snapper as well. So I think they're probably going to bring some guys in and work them out.
August 31st, Indiana State at Ross Ade. And dude, it'll be here before you know it.
I know the summer's going to go fast, and it's fast and furious, man. And I'm going to be on the sideline at Ross Ade. I'll tell you what was cool is they put the permanent walls up on the tunnel, and they had the smoke coming out of it. So it looked like the smoke was coming across, and then it was shooting up. It looked like train smoke coming out. That was pretty cool. So that looked really good, and glad everything worked out on that. So I'm excited to see him run out of that frigging tunnel, man. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Speaking of fun, how about the run by Purdue basketball?
Man, what a run. What a season. What a group of kids. And I am so proud of the kids, the players, so proud of our coaching staff and how we conduct ourselves and just the program in general. I know they didn't love how it ended, but what a run. What a turnout for Boiler Nation in Phoenix. I mean, they're estimating there were 75,000 plus fans down there. You know, and a bunch of them got into the game, and a bunch of them didn't even get into the game. They just watched it in the bars, and I think they said that we drank the Purdue bar dry. They didn't even have any beer left, you know, before the games. And I'll tell you, our Rose Bowl year, when we talk about our Rose Bowl year, we talk about winning the Big Ten championship at home against IU. And I've told this story 100 times. I know you've heard it 100 times. And just the sheer joy of it when I was on the field was full of people. I looked in the stands, looked like the stands was full. And it was just pure joy on there. And then, you know, the stuff leading up to the Rose Bowl. The game itself, I don't talk about that much because we lost, right? I mean, it's not something that we talk about a whole lot. We talk about the good stuff. And what I'm gonna remember about this run this year was that Saturday night when we played NC State. It was incredible. I'll never forget, you know, the just where I was, the smells, the sights, everything about it. I was at a friend's house on campus. My family was there. We were hanging out with one of our best friends or family, and they live right across from the high school. And by golly, as soon as it hit zeros, we celebrated. And we packed up and we walked down to Chauncey, and I was like, I want to see this. So we walked down the high school. We walked all the way down to Chauncey, and what I saw and what I witnessed down there was just, you know, a bunch of college kids just loving life. They weren't, there wasn't destruction like it was in 99 when I was around here for the women's championship. It was just pure joy. I mean, there were people on each other's shoulders. We did see a few fireworks, which I love fireworks. But the police were all down there keeping everything in order. I think the police took way more pictures than they did handcuffing people that night. They were there just to have a really good time. I was so proud of our kids just celebrating, right? I mean, they were up in the balconies. They were on the streets. Somebody climbed a light pole. I loved it all. I mean, and it seemed like they were just happy. And there was like no entertainment. There wasn't like there was, you know, a bunch of music playing. It was just a gathering of Boilermakers who were happy to be around each other. And it was awesome. I mean, just smiles from ear to ear. It was pretty cool. I stayed down there for about a half hour, 40 minutes or so. And then we walked back, but I just wanted to see and kind of feel the energy of being on a college campus and being around those kids. And I was glad I was able to do that. That's what I'm going to choose to remember, right? On the whole thing. And so that night and then everything leading up to Sunday, which was awesome. The Monday leading up, which, I mean, if anybody got any work that day in West Lafayette, I would be shocked. I mean, it was just a Monday of anticipation and waiting for 9:20 to come around finally, you know, and it was pretty special just seeing the pageantry, the pregame stuff, seeing our guys, you know, they were, one of the things that I asked Fletcher, he came into Ever Bowl and I said, you got to tell me this. Did you watch the pregame, Clayton? Did you watch
it on? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So did you see Terry Crews when he was like addressing both teams? He was like on a little stage and the teams were like around in like a half circle and he was giving like a fire up rah-rah speech. We had an argument and we had a discussion. And one of the guys I was with was like, he's not really there. That's like a superimposed deal. And they just have the players like standing there looking at nothing. Right. And I said, I think he's there. Cause I think I saw him like dap up Zach at one point. Like, I'm pretty sure he's there. And they're like, no, they wouldn't have him doing that for both. So Fletcher came in to Ever Bowl when he got back. I said, man, I just got to ask you one thing. I said, was Terry Crews there? He's like, yeah. He goes, yeah, he was there. He was reading. He goes, it was really cool to see like a professional, you know, be able to read off a card and show so much emotion as he's like reading the prompter and things and be able to give such a cool emotional speech. He's like, it was really neat. To be part of that. And I think those guys had a lot of really cool experiences to be able to do that. So that's what they're going to remember, right? They're going to remember the lead up. They're going to remember the feeling of all the energy, you know, and then even those guys that got to go out to California with Zach when he won the National Player of the Year award. I'm sure that was a really cooler hanging out with Jason Sudeikis and Caitlin Clark. Probably, I'm not sure which one's the bigger star, if it's Caitlin Clark or Sudeikis, or, you know, I think those two are probably about as big as stars as there are out there. So it was pretty neat. I'm sure that they had a great time. Like I said, that's what I'm going to choose to remember about this run. We're sitting there watching the second half and it just keeps fading away and fading away. And you're like, oh, it's like a gut punch the whole time. But I love this team. I was absolutely sickened by the display from UConn's Danny Hurley. If I was a UConn fan, man, I'd be embarrassed for him to be my coach, honestly. And I put that out on social media, and I'm not afraid to stand behind it. But it was, you can win a national championship, but man, have some class and do it. You don't need to rub it. You don't need to be going out there and you know, at the 3-point line, getting in a superstar's face. I mean, that's ridiculous. And whining about every call. He made that game about himself. I would be mad if I was a fan or a parent of a player, or even the parents myself, or the players myself. He took that whole game away from his team and made it all about himself. And I mean, every interview was about him. Every, you know, the whole game was about him. And I thought it was just a sickening display of sportsmanship from him. I was embarrassed for him and for his community and the UConn nation. I'm sure they can love their championship, and I got a lot of hate on my Twitter and all that. And I don't really care. I rarely even read them. Most of them had like one follower, so I could care less anyways. And I don't care if you have one follower or a million, really. I don't really care what people think. I have my opinion. That took a lot of the joy, I would think, out of the UConn people, just seeing all that crap and seeing how it was about their coach and the negativeness instead of celebrating a great game by UConn. I mean, their players were terrific. Golly, they played a great basketball game. I mean, Klingon was able to battle. I mean, they gave up 40 to Zach or 37 or whatever it was, but he battled him hard. And I have a lot of respect for him. I have a ton of respect for all their players, for them to put a nice game plan together, and they weren't going to let our shooters shoot. You know, they were like, you got a bunch of good, really good catch and shoot guys. We're not going to let them do it. You know, we're going to give Zach his points, but we're not going to let your shooters beat us. And they stuck to it, man. And I'll give them a ton of credit. And those players, they earned that national championship 100%. I give them a ton of credit. I think that they were a really, really, really good basketball team, and they earned that national championship.
And they've been really, really good the last 2 years. You think about the run they've been on over the last two seasons, but it was good. It was not a game that was a fluke. It wasn't a game that was decided on a bad call by an official.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Purdue had a couple of guys that were out and, you know, Purdue's roster was compromised. I mean, it was just a straight up UConn versus Purdue, and UConn won that day. But I think overall, big picture, Kitch, I mean, you think about just all the pub and all the talk that Purdue got about the team, about the program, about the players, about the university, people seeing or hearing from Coach Painter maybe for the first time, and how entertaining he can be during interview sessions. I know Purdue Boiler Up Nation obviously wanted to win the game and bring home the trophy, but there's so many other wins that are out there for this program and the university that will continue to evolve, even though Purdue did not, did not bring home the trophy. And I look at it like, hey, this team, after 44 years, this team like closed a huge chapter, yeah. Right? Because it was always about, well, Purdue's never going to make the Final Four. They can't make the Final Four. They're not good enough to make the Final Four. And this bunch proved that all that was a bunch of crap. Like, yeah, they've slammed that door shut. Like, Purdue is a Final Four team, is a national championship team to be reckoned with moving forward. But it was good to see the Final Four chapter finally closed and like that baby shut. And now this whole new chapter unfolds. Now, if you're a Purdue fan about what's going to unfold and what's coming up next, damn, you better be excited. You better be happy about it and fired up about it. If you're not, what the hell's wrong with you?
Because if you don't think that Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer and Trey Kaufman Wren and Cam Heidi and Miles Colvin, if you don't think that they got a taste of it and they didn't quite get there, and if you don't think they're going to want to get back and do everything in their power to get back, and now they know what's real, right? This isn't some pipe dream of getting to the Final Four. It's real. We've done this. I think it'll be very similar. I remember in 2015, I know I take us back to my coaching days, and that's okay. But at West Lafayette, 2015, we went down to the state championship. And I remember the walkthrough practice before, everybody was kind of like taking pictures of Lucas Oil and, you know, doing some things, just looking around in awe. And it was like, and I didn't think of it then, but looking back, I do now. We were in trouble because the kids were just happy to be there. And then we go back in 2018 when those kids were freshmen and they're seniors now. In 2018, we go back down the state championship, and we told them, we were like, hey, we'll give you a few minutes here to take some pictures and have some fun. And I remember our guys came up and said, no, we don't need it. Let's get to work. It was like, we're here for a job. They weren't in awe. They said, we've been here. We're here to win. And by golly, we won a state championship that year. And that's what I think you're going to see. You know, I think, not that our guys were in, I don't think that they were in awe, because I think they kind of got that out of the way a little bit in the first game. But the national championship, maybe a little bit, the lights hit them a little hard. I think from now on, it'll be like, hey, we've been here, right? It's like when Michigan State went on that roll and they kept going on that run. Once you get that taste of it, man, it's pretty hard to get that out of your mouth and out of your drive and who you are. So I think that you're gonna see this team continue on and, you know, be a force not only in the regular season but also in the tournament. Man, it's gonna be one of those. They're gonna want to get back, and I think we're gonna get back as well and have a chance of winning a national championship in the next few years. And And so I'm excited. You're right. I'm pretty damn pumped about, the future of this basketball program, where we're headed, because not you, we are a national story now. We're a national program. We, they were talking, they weren't talking about UConn on Saturday Night Live. They were talking about Purdue on Saturday Night Live, right? They weren't most of the things that you're seeing, all the things were because we had the best player in the country for 2 years in a row. And it just brings that national prominence to Purdue. We've got a lot more eyeballs. I would be willing to bet we get a ton of admissions in the spring from high school students. We get a ton of admissions. I mean, I think they got like 75,000 admissions or applications. Sorry, not admissions, applications. We get a ton of applications to Purdue, and I'll bet it may double next year because of that national prominence, right? We get a bunch of them from the state and from states surrounding. You're going to start getting some from Texas. You're probably going to get some from Arizona. You're probably going to get some from a lot of places around the country that saw Purdue play in the Final Four and that want to come to Purdue now and be part of this program and be part of Boiler Nation and be a Boilermaker. I mean, you're going to see a ton more people that are going to want to do that because of this run.
All right, Kitch, I don't know if you saw anything with the eclipse on that Monday the 8th. We were over in Ohio, so we were in the path of totality, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was unforgettable. I'll never forget about it. But the next total solar eclipse that'll impact the U.S., August 23rd, 2044. It's a small portion in 2044 up toward Canada. The one in 2045 is much bigger for us to see. Anywho, so 2044, so just over 20 years. So between right this second and 2044, what happens first? Men's basketball back in the Final Four? Purdue football in the college football playoffs? Purdue women's basketball in the Final Four? Or none of that crap happens, and it's just the eclipse rolls in 2044, and it's a whole nother year or longer till Purdue can achieve one of those goals. What happens first?
I love my football team, and I love everything about it. And I think Coach Walters is going to get us to that point. I think we'll go back in the next year or so to the Final Four in men's basketball. I have no doubt. I think we got the team, and like the guy, like I said, the guys are hungry to do it. So I'm going to say men's basketball in the Final Four is number one, and then between women's basketball and football, who it could be a toss up, because I think Katie's got it roll. I think she's going to get things rolling as well. I could see Katie getting us there, in the next few, in the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 years as well. And I could see Purdue football. We get things rolling a little bit. I could see us, competing for a playoff spot in the next, I would say within the next 5 years. I think Purdue University is, if you're buying stock, buy Purdue University right now. If Purdue was a publicly traded company, I would be buying all the Purdue stock I could right now, and what we have going on both academically and athletically. I think, and just in our community, I mean, we just announced like a $4 billion chip factory coming in here, microchip factory. I mean, everybody's wanting to come and be part of this thing in West Lafayette. We're a growing community. It's a growing campus. You get a world-class education. You get the highest level of sports in the country. And I mean, why wouldn't you be buying Purdue University, man? This is where it's at. And I'm excited just to kind of be along for the ride and see what's going on. I'm excited that, my kids are going to be part of it. They're both going to be Purdue athletes here at, coming up here in the next month and a half, they move in. So I'm excited for to be kind of just watching the ride kind of unfold, man. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I would say, like I said, even if you get to 2030, the next 5 or 6 years here, by the time we hit 2030, you're going to see this Purdue train is going to be full steam chugging, man. It's going to be awesome. Just jump on board right now. I think this Final Four run too is going to, it opened us up to a lot of interesting new things as far as like fans that aren't alumni. I think you're going to see it. I think you're going to see people. What's going to be funny is you're going to see people in the airports, and when you go on vacation, they're going to be wearing Purdue gear that aren't necessarily alumni. Usually, when you see Purdue people, they're most often they're alumni, usually, and we've got great alumni. I think you're going to see a lot of casual fans, people that are just enjoy the sports that maybe didn't come to Purdue. They're going to be Boilermakers and want to be part of this thing, and that's a cool part about it as well.
Yeah, it was a blast to watch on social media, and it was fun to see everyone having so much fun and really soaking up the moment. That's what we said in our last podcast. Hey, make sure you soak up every second. And I realize not every single person was listening to us, but they got the memo. I think everybody had a tremendous time out there, and really showed out for Purdue Nation and all the Boiler Up crew.
Even on a Monday night, it was a little bit somber, but I stayed up. I wanted to watch one shining moment and kind of just take it all in, man. I was wanting to see it. And then I'll tell you what, that dunk by Cam Heidi, though, holy cow. Was that incredible? I'm still 300 pounds. So it's a lot to get me to jump out of a seat, man. I jumped out of my seat like I was 200 pounds. I about hit my head on the ceiling when he hit that thing. That was something that was incredible. I looking around at my faces, my kids and things like that. And they all like, what did he just do? That was the athleticism that he showed there. That was pretty cool.
All right. So it's Purdue Grand Prix weekend. Another perfect opportunity to get down to Everbowl and get yourself all fueled up for the big weekend. So what's going on, Kitch, as we approach May? What's going on with Everbowl?
Yeah, students, if you're listening, you only got a few weeks left before you go home for the summer. And stop down and get you some Everbowl, man, because wherever you're from may or may not have one. There's 86 locations around the country, but there's one in West Lafayette. So make sure that you come and get you one before you leave, or get 10 before you leave. You know, we've had some cool things going on. We had a professor that wanted to spend his birthday. He chose for his birthday, I think it was his 50th birthday, he brought his class into Everbowl. And his class actually did a little TikTok because they really respected the professor quite a bit. And it was kind of a cool deal. It kind of went viral on some things. So it was a neat deal. Now Everbowl, our corporate is, we've been talking with them. We're trying to do some more of those teacher appreciation and our education initiative on that of showing appreciation to our teachers. So that was kind of a cool deal. And if you're in the community, and you're in a couple of weeks and you're afraid to come down to my campus because there's so many kids, we got 50,000 of them leaving here in a few weeks. There's going to be plenty of parking. Come on by, baby. And there's always parking in front anyways. They move those people in and out anyway. So don't be scared to come down. There's always plenty of parking down. But if you just don't want to be around when there's 50,000 kids around there and you're a community member, come in and see us, man. Here in a couple of weeks, it's going to empty out. We'd love to have you in there. We've got the acai. We got the we got a lot of good flavors heading your way. So we're going to be out at some farmers markets this summer as the summer turns, the weather turns a little bit nicer coming up here. We're trying to do some more offsite catering, trying to get some buzz. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Remind the folks of your location.
We're at 302 Vine Street, Suite 170. And between there's a Village Bottle Shop on the corner and AJ's on the other side of us. But we're right there smack dab in the middle where you can get the best acai around.
Fantastic. Definitely get down there. Ever grateful, ever true,
ever bowl.
Yes, sir. Well, Kitch, great to catch up, man. Great as always to have Everbowl on board with us. Thanks so much to everybody for listening, subscribing, following us, all the good stuff you do on the social media. We greatly appreciate it. We'll catch you next time right here on Kitch and Duff.